Look, morning all. This morning, it's my firm belief that Jesus wants to stir up what he's placed in your heart and what he's placed in your hand. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this: "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." I'm convinced that the Lord wants to awaken and reawaken some of us, fan into flame, if you like, into a time of embracing his divine purpose for our lives. So this morning, would you open up your Bibles with me to Matthew 13, 31 to 35. The title of my message is The Little Things. You might have seen that on the screens. And this passage from the Bible is the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. It says this: "He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet: "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Jesus' stories in this passage highlighted not only his regular use of parables, but also his ability to present the smallest of things, just like the mustard seed or the yeast, and explain their potential for great, great value. And as we reflect upon these parables with the mustard seed and with the yeast, we should be aware that in this case, Jesus is referring to himself as the sower of the seed, and the kingdom of God growing from that smallest mustard seed far beyond its humble beginnings and growing into something with strong roots, with branches of refuge, like the yeast being mixed through the dough, an unrelenting stirring until his word goes out to all. You see, Jesus shows us that when the kingdom of God is at work, even the smallest things can have an exponential impact. This morning, I believe this passage should serve as a challenge to all of us to consider what has God placed in each of our hands. What seed has he given to each of us? And how does he want us to sow? You know, just as Pastor Kerry asked last week about our foundations in Christ, this passage of Scripture should also cause us to consider the seed that we have poured out. Consider if we have been faithful with it. And consider whether we need to return to those small things, maybe that seed that he's given us, and play a part in seeing it grow. So I wonder what little things Jesus has positioned in your life. Maybe he placed something small into your hand a long time ago. I wonder if it's grown. I wonder if it has transformed. Maybe he's entrusted you with a small thing recently. I wonder what soil or foundation you have planted that in. Or maybe he's just about to place a small thing into your hand. Maybe you sense it. Maybe you sense the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit about to place something small into your hand. What will your stewardship and your foundation cause to occur with this small thing? You see, the concept of small things being greatly and unexpectedly transformed is consistent throughout the Bible. You know, only a couple of weeks ago, I was up here and I mentioned the story of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish that Jesus multiplied on the beach. Those 5 loaves and 2 fish fed thousands of men, women, and children, and there was leftovers. There is also a word often used when Jesus talks about small things. That word is faithfulness. And it's a principle we hear about again and again. And I'll give you some examples. When sharing another parable, the parable of the shrewd manager in Luke 16, Scripture says this: "If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities." You know, further on in the book of Luke, and again within another parable, this time the parable of the 10 servants, Scripture says, "You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I have entrusted to you. So you will be the governor of 10 cities as your reward." In each of these parables, church, and through each of these statements, it's clear that God is able to multiply. It is clear that God is able to transform. It is clear that what may seem small and possibly even insignificant may have abundant, improbable, incredible, implausible outcomes. That is what is possible when our God of the supernatural enters into even the smallest seed in the natural. In all of the examples in the Bible, it's worth remembering that God, not us, brings the multiplication. God, not us, causes the transformation. God, not us, brings the outcome of abundance. So I want to ask you, do you believe that this morning, church? Do you truly believe that? Because I know there are bills to be paid. I know that there's food that needs to be put on the table. And in the midst of the swaying and churning of the world, and in a culture that is so much more likely to tell you that you're inadequate, followed by some kind of temporary fix or buzz, I'm here to tell you that the little that you have in your hand today is significant. It is significant to Jesus. It's significant And it is your God-given responsibility to steward. What has God placed in your hand? And how have you been stewarding that thing? Have you been faithful with it? Is it alive and growing? Is it dormant or asleep? Were you once faithful with what God had given you, but you've allowed it to lapse or become overgrown by weeds? I know Jesus wants to encourage you and the seed in your hand today. You see, Jesus himself, he shows himself to be faithful to his promises. He examples the principle of being faithful with the little. He also encourages us to be faithful with the little as a method of showing us his own supernatural power. So I don't know what the little in your hand looks like this morning. I know for me, I'm always challenged with the little that God gives me and how I use it and how I sometimes forget even the small things, the insignificant things that he gives me, that he places into my hands. I used to think, as a simple example, when I was leading, when I was stewarding Hillside Youth Ministry, and I remember how we'd be so excited over those nights where 70, 80, 90, 100 kids would turn up. And I also remember how crestfallen sometimes we'd look and feel when only 15 kids had shown up in the room. And I remember in the midst of that sadness, Jesus would speak to me and say, "Hey, mate, how's your faith going with that little that I gave you today?" I don't know about you. I don't know what he's given you. I don't know about the small things. I don't know about the small blessings that you might have received from him. But I wonder how faithful we all are when it comes to the small things that he's entrusted to us. We live in a Western world where we actually, by default, often have more than most other people on this earth. And sometimes our little is actually so, so much more than so many other people on this earth. Sometimes our little we feel is insignificant, but it can go a long, long way. I want to ask you, because maybe it's the people in your life. Maybe there's a group of people in your life that Jesus has given to you, positioned you within. Do you example the kingdom of God within your families, within your friendship groups, on your street, with your neighbors? Maybe it's in your workplace or in business. Maybe you have a small business. Maybe you work for one. Maybe God wants to use that as the platform for something far beyond your capacity or thoughts. Maybe God's given you a passion. You know some of mine. And maybe God wants to use that for his kingdom to be moved forward. But I also know that sometimes when we take a step of faith, sometimes we don't see an immediate result. I know that some of you in this room might have taken a step of faith before. Hey, Lord, you've given me a passion for this. You've entrusted me with that. I'm going to take a step of faith for you in these things. And you don't see a result. I want to speak into that in a moment. But whatever it is, whatever little the Lord has given to you, I believe he's encouraging all of us today to think upon those things that he's given you. Dream again. Remember again the little things that he's placed in our hearts, because I believe he wants to revive some of those things for some of the people in this room today, and he wants to birth some things in this place today as well. Faithfulness. I've mentioned this concept that seems to go hand in glove with small things. So how can we be faithful? How do we even increase our faithfulness? You see, we know by reading Galatians 5 that faithfulness is actually a fruit of the Holy Spirit. A lot of you will know this verse before. I'll read it to you again. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So for those of us that live as followers of Jesus, this is something that should reside within us as a result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, as we choose to walk closer and closer with the Lord and are led more and more by the Holy Spirit, we should be able to see faithfulness through our growing relationship with Jesus. It's like fruit as we walk with him. Things come out of an overflow of our spirit, and faithfulness is one of those things. Now, does this mean that the moment we decide to pick up our Bibles and read the word, we're going to see fruit? Lord, I spent a minute and a half in your word this morning. I don't feel particularly patient right now. What's up with that? Lord, I prayed for deep joy for 15 seconds. I don't feel it. I can't see it. I think we have to understand, and a little bit like Pastor Kerry preached last week, there's a building of foundation that comes when we enter into the Word of God. And I wanted to show you a video in a moment, because you've been awfully quiet, and I know you were quiet for Wayne as well. But I didn't pick the soundtrack to this video, and I don't still know if I should talk over the top of the soundtrack, because I've got a video that I want to show you. It's based on foundation and fruit. It's quite scientific. So why don't we roll the tape? And if I start talking, that'll be because I'm nervous, all right? Here we go. You know what? I just think of the deep, deep joy that... you can clap if you want, but I didn't make the video, okay? I didn't make it. I do think of the deep joy that the person making that video, and thinking of what soundtrack would be appropriate. You see, I show you that video because as much as we might have become a little bit excited when that seed just popped out of the ground and like, here it comes. It's coming. And then it just stands up so proud. It's like, whoa, man. There's kind of no wilt about it. It's just like, boom. And we get so excited about what we see coming out of the surface. But I hope you realized that the first 6 to 7 days of that process all happened in the secret place. It all happened and there was no one there cheering it on. Woo! Go to root structure. Now, you know that the gardening exploits of Craig, sometimes I use them in my preach. You know how excited I get when my grass grows and it grows all nice and I'm mowing it and stuff like that. But really, that's a byproduct of spending time nurturing relationship. Not talking about my lawn anymore. When we nurture a relationship with the Lord, sometimes things are going on that you can't see. I hasten to guess that all the time things are going on that you and I can't see. But because we can't see the end result, so much of the time we go, Lord, you didn't give me enough. Lord, that little insignificant thing was actually insignificant because we, with our own human eyes, can't see what the Lord can see. And I wonder today, church, what you have put down, what you have given up on, what you have tried with the small seed that God has put in your hand and just gone, you know what? I can't see what's happening. I don't know. I can't see fruit. I believe the Lord would say to you, I'm at work. And who are you to tell me what is and isn't insignificant? He's been teaching me that lesson of late. And he's been teaching it to me in my garden. He's been teaching that to me as I bring up my son. He's been teaching that to me in my relationship with my wife. In all different areas of my life, he's been teaching me, Craig, be faithful with the small pieces of the puzzle. It's important to me. And it has the capacity for exponential growth. You see, when that seed is planted and nurtured, so much goes on under the surface prior to it revealing itself. If you were to look at the results with that plant after 6 days, you'd be wondering if it was dead. There was nothing on the surface to show you any encouragement. But you will hopefully have also seen that a healthy root structure or foundation is important for the long-term welfare of the plant. The fruit was only seen a long time after the seed was sown. You know, we need to look after the seed and trust that Jesus is at work, both under the surface and to cause transformation growth. You see, we sometimes want to see the end product when God is more concerned with our faithfulness when it's not yet visible. So I wonder, church, are we people of faith? Or are we discouraged and do we give up when we don't see the outcome in our timing or the way we think is the best way? My message this morning is so very, very simple. Are we a faithful people with the very little that Jesus has put in our hand? I want you to put that in your own context. This is not a one-size-fits-all scenario. Because I know God's given us hopes and dreams, and he's blessed us each in different ways, shapes, and forms. I see my creative God, even this morning, using the small seed that he places, the small passions that he places in his people, coming to life. I see four or five cooks with a passion for hospitality. Last week, cooking up a feast. Why? To bless people thousands of kilometers away that they'll never meet, that they'll never see some of them. That's the fruit of the Spirit at work. I see Jace getting up with his little yellow board. I think that board was used for something else once upon a time. There's a watermelon on this thing. God takes our watermelons and suddenly our suburb of Forestfield has God's people praying. This little yellow board with a man and a dream purposed by God suddenly means people come into this house and many other houses of the Lord in this area. Why? Because people started praying. Jace had a watermelon in his hand. Not literally. But I hope even that board can show you with that little seed, whatever it looks like, whether it be the cooks, whether it be Adopter Street, whatever it might be. Maybe it's that extra $2 in your hand at the end of every week that you're going, mate, I've always got a bit of spare change. You know, I live very close to a place called Vic Park. If you've ever been on Albany Highway, if you've ever walked down it for any stretch of time, it's very unlikely that you won't go past somebody who is probably homeless or probably somebody who asks you for a bit of coin. I just wonder, church, those small things that the Lord puts in our hand, what great blessings might come of them. It's not insignificant. It's your divine purpose. It means that it might look different to the guy or the girl sitting next to you. That's God's creativity. That's our personal relationship with him that says, I've chosen you for this specific purpose, and it's not insignificant to me. Are we a faithful people, church? Can I get the band to come back up? I believe, church, that it's important for us to acknowledge what we've been given. I believe it's ever so important, because in John 15 to 16 it says this: you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. I believe if you've got seed in your hand, whatever that might be, whatever that might look like, and I speak particularly to those of you that have maybe held that seed and gone, what do I do with it? No one would want to get on board with that. It's just so insignificant. What do I do? For those of you that have doubted, I believe this is a reminder moment. This is a divine appointment for you that the Lord says, hey, you know what? That's not insignificant. That's your divine purpose. That's part of my divine plan. I know that there'll be some of you that have had the day six scenario for far longer than 6 days. I've been nurturing that seed, Lord. I've been nurturing it. I've been nurturing it. I've been nurturing it. And for what? I can't see nothing. Where's the fruit? Where is it at, Lord? How much longer do I have to keep nurturing this thing? You gave it to me. Where's the fruit? The Lord would say to you, do not give up. Did I give up on you? Did I give up on you when I saw no fruit in you? I know he said that to me just lately. Did I give up on you, Craig, when there was jackfruit? Not actual jackfruit. There was no fruit. There was no fruit in your life. Where was the fruit, Craig? You tell me, Mr. Complain a lot. He never gives up. He never gives up, even when there's no fruit coming out of us. So who are we to give up when we're part of his divine purpose and we just can't see? He's the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the beginning and the end, church. I want you to just meditate upon these words. You know, like particularly the ones that I bolden up for you. That's my doing there. Because I feel like it's important for this message. I chose you. I appointed you. That you may go and bear fruit. And it will be fruit that lasts. He's at work, church. He's at work under the surface. Don't grow weary. He's at work. Because it's in the small things that the Lord is able to test our faithfulness. So I wonder, do we have to go back to some of those seeds that he's given us and just water them again this morning? Do we have to commit the seed that is in our hand? Do we have to actually commit that back to him this morning and say, look, Lord, I know you give me this seed. I'm standing here. I'm committing it back to the one that gave it to me. I'm saying, do what you got to do and I will be faithful. Maybe God's birthing something right now into your heart. Maybe it is a new thing. Maybe it is a new seed that he's given you. Will you be faithful with it, church? When maybe there's a bit of foundation work that needs to go on before you see the fruit. What little is in your life that you want to see grow? You know, church, we're going to wrap it up here. But know that he chose you and he appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. And as we sing and as we close, we prayed in the training room this morning pre-service. And Alan Grover, one of our elders, he said, you know what? The Lord wants to pour out new oil. He wants to pour out new oil. And that oil, I believe, would sink into our foundations. It'd be a little bit like manna from heaven falling into that place of our hearts with the small, the insignificant things this morning. So, church, I'm going to ask the elders and the prayer team to come up. And we'd love to pray for you. And we'd love to anoint whatever that small seed might be in your life, whatever it looks like, we'd love to do that for you today. Be encouraged. He chose you. He appointed you. And I believe this morning he wants to anoint you. So why don't we stand to our feet and worship him. And if that's you in the house, and I hope it's you in the house, come get anointed again. Come get a fresh new oil again. He wants to be at work.